Fantastic. So now we are being recorded. Welcome, everyone, to December 2018 LHON Live. So glad all of you are here. Most of you have had a chance to introduce yourself, but I'll give you an introduction to myself quickly. My name's Andy Mark, and I'm calling from Hoboken, New Jersey today. We have been doing these calls since August of 2014. So somewhere along the way, I lost count, but we're pretty high now. We've been doing them over 4 years, and we're really excited to have you all here. Back in June of 2014, I met two lovely ladies in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and the three of us realized how wonderful it was to meet other people who were part of the LHON community, people who were affected, people who were related, people who spent their lives around people affected by LHON, and we realized how powerful it was to share experiences there in Pittsburgh. And we immediately said, okay, I can't wait till the next conference, the next year. But more importantly than that, we started racking our brains to find other ways we could kind of facilitate that same kind of benefit throughout the year and not just once a year. So 2 months later, we started these monthly conference calls, and we've been doing them ever since. They take place the first Wednesday of every month, so the same day, same time, actually, so 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, here in the U.S., but we always have callers from other countries, most notably our Canadian friends to the north, but we're so excited you're all here. The point of these calls is really whatever we want it to be. So we want to fellowship with each other. We want to share stories. We want to meet other people, hear about the journeys that people go through, and help each other out any way we can. Most often, it's just getting to know other people, making friends, making connections, and staying a part of this community, which has been really helpful to all of us. But before we move on, I want to introduce you to the other hosts, the ladies I mentioned earlier. We take turns hosting these calls, and I know they're both here tonight. So first, Maria Johnson is here.
Hi, everyone.
And we also have Jessica Loomer.
Hi, everyone.
So if tonight's call isn't your favorite one, it's all my fault, and I encourage you to call for a later call. We actually have an amazing speaker this evening, but I want to give a little background first. As I said, these calls are meant to help you, so I want to use them any way you can. However, there are a few topics we try to stay away from the best we can, not because we don't want to help in those regards, and if you have questions around those, we encourage you to find us elsewhere and ask those types of questions, but they are the types of questions we want to point you to someone else because, frankly, we're not experts. So when it comes to medical advice, legal advice, employment advice, those types of things, we steer clear of those here. But if we head down that route, I'll be sure to steer us back tonight. But if you have those types of questions or want to know someone we can put you in touch with to answer those types of questions, let us know, and we will put you in touch with the right person. That said, we have a fantastic speaker this evening to share a little bit about her story. She is relatively new to this community, and so I'm super impressed that not only was she willing to be a part of the call, she actually reached out and wanted to be a part of this call and raised her hand, which is super commendable. I joke about it sometimes, but we don't have many people who raise their hands and want to volunteer to be a part of these calls. That said, everyone who's ever done it gives me fantastic reviews. So if you're interested, let us know, and we'll make sure to get you on a future call. She actually was affected a little recently, but I will let her tell a little bit about her story. So without any further ado, I want to go ahead and introduce Lindsay to everybody. Lindsay, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing well. At this point, I should mention, I am going to leave the call open, meaning I'm not going to mute everyone. If we start to hear a bunch of background noise, I will mute everyone. But if you know beforehand that you're going to be in a place that's quite noisy, you can either press the mute button on your phone or press *6 on your phone at any point in time, that will actually mute your line. So I don't have to mute everyone. I'd rather not have to do that so we don't have to unmute everyone later on in the call. But if we have to do that, that's not a problem either. But Lindsay, welcome.
Yes.
Thank you for joining
Thank
us.
Thank you. Thank you for all the kind words.
That's not a problem. So happy to have you here. If you don't mind giving us basic details, unrelated to LHON, but you, where do you live? I know you introduced yourself and said where you come from earlier, but where are you today?
Well, I live in a suburb of Cleveland, Ohio. I was recently affected.
How recently were you affected? I know most people here don't know that.
Right. So my symptoms started in June, and then it took a few months, 4 or 5 months, for them between back and forth between doctors to, of course, figure out what I had and everything. And then finally the first week of October is when I got my official test results back saying that I had LHON.
Yes.
So.
And you, have you been on any previous calls, Lindsay?
Yes, I listened. I started listening in on the September one.
Okay, so that was even before your diagnosis?
Yes, just because I had done some research thinking, oh, this is what I might have. And so I kind of ended up beating the doctors to it. So.
Yeah, and then, I mean, did you have to go to the doctors to ask about LHON, or did they come up with that on their own?
Well, when I was in the hospital, they had hospitalized me in the middle of August because they still couldn't figure out what was wrong with me, and that's when my right eye had started getting bad. So, of course, the neurologists that I was seeing were freaking out, and so they admitted me and wanted me to get an MRI, spinal tap, CT scan done, and so we did all that, and then finally on the last day when I was there, I asked one of the ophthalmologists that was seeing me, I said, hey, do you think this is labors? And they're like, well, it might be, but we don't think so. I'm like, okay. So.
Yeah, well, one of those moments where you wish you could go back and they told you so a little bit, but that's
right,
not nearly
real.
The consolation you wish you'd get. So let's step back a little bit here. I'm going to be scolded for asking some of this. But you, obviously, female, young woman living in the Cleveland area, diagnosed in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
How old are you?
I'm 24 years old.
Okay.
And then I just turned 24 in May, was living like a perfectly normal life, well, to an extent. And then in middle to end of June is when I started, like, seeing these spots and everything, and I was, like, I kept putting it off just because I wouldn't notice it until I would, like, try and read something. So, of course, I kept being reminded every time I'd read something. So then finally I called my eye doctor and said, there's something going on. So they got me in right away, and during my eye exam is when I realized I couldn't see anything out of my left eye.
Yeah, I just want to point out one thing that you breeze by without pointing out, which is one of the things I'm impressed by you as a 24-year-old, and many people think of a 24-year-old as an adult. I don't think of myself as a 30-year-old as an adult, so I'm just
that's
impressed by
guy.
The fact that you... Yeah, that's probably it.
I'm sorry.
No, that is fair game. Making fun of Andy, especially if anyone else laughs. That's why I don't mute the call, so we can all hear everyone else laugh at me. No, that's fair. But, I mean, my first reaction, and you're going to love this, I mean, like, when I start losing my vision, it's immediately, okay, I'm going to call my mom, not I'm going to call an eye doctor. So I'm just impressed that that's your first step.
Right.
I know you actually started doing some of these appointments actually on your own to start.
Right, just because, granted, I've been living with my dad the whole time and everything, but I've always been one where I like to be independent, go do things on my own. and then I'll let my parents know if it's serious enough. So I actually went to, my dad had asked me, said, hey, do you want me to come with you? And I'm like, if you want. So I'm actually kind of glad he came with me to that appointment that day, because the eye doctor called him in and said, hey, we need to get her into the Cole Eye Institute the next day because this is serious.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm super impressed with your demeanor through all of this. So what month was that?
That was like, I think it was like June 24th.
Okay. So you referred to your life back in May and April, a normal life. What was that? What is that? What were you doing with your time?
Well, I was always busy. I'm the kind of person that always likes to be on the go, doing something productive. So I was working at the Cleveland Clinic in the cardiovascular ICU. I'm a nursing assistant there. I've been there for 5.5 years. So I was working there part-time, then I was also a part-time nanny.
So you were just killing it, as you have been since. What kind of work did you do as a nursing assistant?
Well, we would admit fresh cases out of surgery. So we get all the fresh open-heart surgeries, lung surgeries, that kind of thing. Take care of the patients, take out lines, do EKGs, you name it.
Oh, wow. And you've been doing that for a while. Had the work been pretty much the same? Had it changed at all in the time you were there?
What do you mean by that?
The work you were doing earlier this year, was it the same work you were doing 3 years ago? Or had your role changed there at all?
No, I've been doing the same thing there.
Okay. So always in the ICU.
Correct, yes.
Okay.
Where all the action happens.
That's what I hear. I aim to stay out of there, but I commend the people who go there for work every day.
Yeah.
Good for you. And so you were nannying as well? Is that, did you
Correct.
Know
yes.
the family, or you were just looking for nannying jobs to do on the side because you noticed you had a few hours you weren't working?
I'd been watching my friend's kids for a while, and then I'd been watching another family for about 3 years as well. So I knew both my families pretty well.
Okay.
So I love the critical care, and I love kids, so like the best of both worlds.
And I'm going to ask another silly question, but in your free time outside of your two jobs, what were your hobbies? What are your hobbies? What do you like to do?
I have a dog, so I love to take her out for walks, take her out for hikes. I love to travel. I love to go to dinner with my friends and family. I like to go work out, stay in good shape. And, yeah, just basically try and relax every once in a while.
Yeah, I don't know where you find the time. what kind of dog do you have?
She is a Shar Pei Terrier mix. I rescued her 3 years ago. So during the time when I've been off work since August, she's been the thing that, like, helps always keep me happy and everything. So it's like my four-legged
yeah.
kid.
I know. I understand that. That's awesome. Good for you. And you mentioned working out. What kind of things do you do to stay active?
I'll go on hikes. I'm not much into running, but I'll go to the gym, do different things with my arms, do some cardio, different things like that. I like to change it up a little bit.
Yeah, I am very ADD when it comes to working out. I could never do anything like run a marathon. My mind is a very dangerous
right.
place, and when left
right.
alone with it, bad things happen.
I feel it. My mind, like, I can only do, like, a certain workout for a little bit, and then I have to change it because I get bored of it.
I need to play music when I'm in the shower, or my mind wanders too much.
Yes.
Fantastic. Okay. Cool. And are you still going to the gym these days?
Well, luckily I have a gym in my apartment complex, so I try and make it up there at least once a week.
Okay, so you can just walk there?
Yes. because
were you driving to and from work before?
Yes, I was driving to and from work every day, all the way up until middle of August.
Okay.
Middle of August was also when I had stopped working, just because I noticed my eyes getting worse and I didn't feel confident and good enough being able to take care of my patients. I didn't want to put myself or my patients' lives at risk. So, unfortunately, I had to make the decision to take some medical leave, hoping that it would, I'd be like, oh, I'll come back in a couple months or so and be all better. But it's been a couple months, so. But
okay.
My goal is eventually to get back there, so.
Yeah. No, I think that's a goal I can encourage you to achieve, and I'm sure you can. You are,
yeah.
Like, even being a part of these calls is impressive, and I know other things that you've already accomplished as well in this time. So, obviously, every country is a little different. Every state's a little different in terms of their regulations. But, I mean, what kinds of – once you had your diagnosis, and it's been, I mean, what, just a little over a month at this point, but what kinds of resources did you start tapping into and trying to take advantage of there in Ohio?
Well, once I officially got my diagnosis, even before we got my diagnosis, my family and I, and even my neuro-ophthalmologist, Dr. Lysted, she had mentioned going to the Cleveland Sight Center. So that was the only thing my doctor mentioned or whatnot. The rest of it I found out on my own. The Cleveland Sight Center was amazing. They had a low vision clinic where the doctor there basically tested your eyes and told you, like, what devices would be good for your eyes. That's when I got the prescription for my 18 times magnified glasses, which have been my saving grace.
What kinds of things do you use those for?
It's very, very hard for me to read up close now since my right eye has gotten, like, progressively worse. So without the glasses, it's, like, basically all blur. But with the glasses, I can actually, like, read stuff. So.
What types of things would you read? Could you read a menu and things like that with your glasses?
No. Like, everything still has to be super zoomed, but it basically just helps make things more clear.
Okay.
So instead of everything being all blurry, it makes it look at least somewhat readable as it's zoomed in. So.
And do you still have to kind of pan across as you're reading because you're that person? I said, do you still kind of pan from left to right or up and down to read because you're that part zoomed in, I assume?
I usually do left to right. The only thing is, like, with focusing in, I'm trying to, like, being able to read something for so long, my eyes get kind of cross-eyed.
Exactly.
But basically, I was told that that's because if you focus in on something too long, it's because you're not blinking enough. So I've been trying to blink more so that way my eyes can get cross-eyed.
I love that. That's my takeaway from that. I've been trying to blink more. what other things? You mentioned how great the Cleveland Sight Center. What other things that you said they had a low vision center there? They tested you and offered you devices. Were there other devices they recommended for you, or other things there at the sight center outside of the low vision area?
They had said that, like, the handheld Ruby magnifier would be good for me, and then a couple other things. But buying it there would have been too expensive, and when I went there, it was before I started working with Opportunities for Ohioans with Disabilities.
Okay.
So we put their tools on hold because we didn't want to pay the expensive cost. And then that's when we found out about OOD and contacted them.
And you had separate follow-up appointments with them where they did a similar skill set to understand what kinds of devices they'd recommend for you. Is that right?
Correct. So we basically went in for, like, consultation, met with a caseworker there. So their job is basically to help people do their daily activities, get back to, like, their normal lives, and go back to work. So
okay.
I basically set a time frame of, like, the goal for you to get back to work. And then I worked with this wonderful lady who has a shop out here in Cleveland. She has a shop called Magnifiers and More, which is absolutely amazing. So she helped me pick out a couple of devices to help me to help go be able to go back to work.
Okay. And have you gotten those devices? Are you still waiting on those? Or
I'm still waiting on them.
Okay.
So the devices we picked out were the ORCAM 2.0 and then a different version of the magnified handheld Ruby.
Okay. So kind of like a portable handheld CCTV, like Ruby device,
correct.
And then
correct.
The ORCAM, which is a AI-type device that can describe things and or read them to you when you point
right.
to them, if I'm thinking of
that's
my device.
Amazing. Yes.
Have you tried on the ORCAM?
Yes, we tried it on at the store there. It's amazing the things it can do. So basically, my goal with that is when I go back to work, it'll be able to, like, read the patient names to me so I can type them in the printing machine. It'll read, like, what's on the computer screen for me, things like that. So, and then
okay.
the cool thing about it is you can teach it to recognize faces. So you can point at someone's face, tell it its name, and then when that person's coming towards you, it'll say, this is so-and-so. So
very cool.
It's amazing the technology nowadays. It's a good era to get blind in, I guess.
It is exactly that. That was my thought a few years ago, too. I lost my vision just end of 2013, beginning of 2014, right when the rest of our hosts, we all became affected around the same time. So I'm going to go ahead and say the thing that I'm sure everyone else is thinking right now. You're a young 24-year-old. Obviously, you seem to have good spirits and optimistic and headed in the right direction to get all your resources. How?
I've always been pretty optimistic. I mean, I've suffered with anxiety and depression for a few years, but I've been seeing a doctor for that and taking medicine for that, and so that's very well controlled. So that, and then hanging out with the right group of friends and having the support of my family and friends and just listening to motivational speakers every day and just, I don't know, how trying to wake up in a good mood every day and just realizing, like, hey, there's people out there who are completely blind or have cancer or something. So the way I look at it is it could be worse. So.
Yeah, it could certainly be worse. And I think the attitude you're having is extremely helpful. Now, I mean, I know everyone doesn't have the same path you're on, and I recognize that, and I think everyone has their own path, but I really want to just recognize and respect the attitude that you have now and everything you're doing to kind of take charge of your life and make the best of your situation. I think it's really, really powerful and encouraging, and I respect it a ton, so I wanted to recognize that.
Thank you. My goal, I was a little nervous to do this call tonight, but my goal for this call is to basically help as many people who are affected and having trouble with the thought of it. And so I would just want to help spread my positivity and just tell people it's going to be okay. You're going to make it through it.
Yeah. No, I know they will say it themselves here in just a few minutes, but I'll go ahead and speak a little bit on behalf of everyone. Thank you for joining us. We are hearing a little background noise of someone who appears to be cooking or playing in a band that uses hot pans. So if that's you, you can press *6 to mute or press your mute button. If you're not able to do that, we can mute everyone, but that would be helpful if you could. Sounds like maybe you did. So if you did, thank you so much. I was saying, Lindsay, that I'm sure others will take the opportunity to do so in just a moment, but thank you so much for stepping up and realizing that everyone's story here is helpful, that your story is extremely helpful to people here, and just who you are is helpful to this community and who everyone is. This community is as strong as all the members we have here together and the power we have to communicate and hold each other up. And that's the thing about the community that impresses me the most about everyone. So thank you so much. And I know you've had the opportunity to be on a few calls previously and kind of see what the calls are like, but I commend you for joining us.
Yes, thank you. I think the most frustrating part about this whole journey was just trying to figure out what I had. Once I finally found out and got the diagnosis, I was more relieved about finding out what I had than anything. So then that's when my attitude changed, and I felt like I could, like, actually breathe a sigh of relief and say, okay, now what?
It's almost like you were on a path at that point, and you
right.
had, regardless of how long that path was going to be, you saw where to put your next foot.
Right, yes. So, because they tested me for just about everything in the book. They thought I had MS. They thought I had autoimmune disorders, different things like that. And then finally when I found out what it was and that there might actually be treatments for it and everything, I was like, okay, thank you for just telling me what it is.
Yep, exactly. And I don't want to fault the doctors. It's not as if they're keeping things from us. I realize you have a very rare condition, but with that said, I appreciate all of the awareness that's growing for mitochondrial diseases as a whole. I'm hearing a little background to myself, so I don't know if someone has me on echo. But anyway, I know you mentioned a minute ago about being a little nervous on this call, and I'm going to tell you the same thing I told you before the call, which is everything that goes right on this call is thanks to you, and everything that goes wrong is thanks to me. So you have nothing to be worried about. And I just appreciate you being here, and I'd tell everyone else that
thank
if
you.
They ever want to join for a call, that
yeah.
you, no one is a bad speaker for these calls. We've had speakers who have been friends, relatives of people affected, actually people who are affected. We've had people who work in technology related to blindness actually be our speakers. So always a great experience to hear from different people. But with that, I want to go ahead and ask you, is there anything else you want to share with everyone before I open it up and ask others if they have any questions for us?
Well, along with being positive throughout this whole experience, I also have to get shoulder surgery next week. So still trying to keep my hopes up and spirits high and everything, and another bump in the road. And then I'm hoping to be able to go back to work, hopefully in March, and recover from my shoulder surgery. And then hopefully as I recover from my shoulder surgery, I'll be able to start using my peripheral vision better or different things like that. So,
well, you know this community is not going anywhere, and we will continue to keep in touch with you, keep tabs on you, and if there's anything we can do to help you, I know there are lots of people on this call, so I want you to know you have the opportunity to ask questions of us as well about resources and things to do between now and March. I think it's awesome to give yourself some time to recover from everything you're going through and really get your footing grounded. And then try to go back to work, because I know you are passionate about your work and excited about helping people, and I want you to be able to do that.
Yes, me too. Can I say one other thing?
But yeah, of course. But we'll be sending you good vibes over the next couple weeks with your surgery, though.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, during my recovery and everything, since I, of course, can't just lay around because it'll drive me nuts, and I, of course, miss, like, taking care of people and helping people. I'd actually talk to Melissa just because I really want to do something to help with people in the LHON community and help people through the whole process. So I'll be the person helping all the LH1 affected people in Ohio. So if anyone on the call lives in Ohio and wants to reach out or talk or anything, let me know. I'm on the Ohio Facebook page, so if you have any questions or anything, I will also be trying to compile, like, resources for anybody who lives in Ohio. So.
Fantastic. No, we'll make sure if anyone reaches out to us, if you can't find Lindsay on the Facebook group, I would try to say your last name, but I'm going to butcher it. So how about you say and maybe
I'll
even spell
your
last name?
Okay. My last name is Zibanowski, and I will spell that for everyone. It's
let me see if I can spell it. Let's just make this fun. Her last name is
don't
spelled Z. No, I'm not. I'm not. Z, I mean, I've spelled it a few times this week, though. Z-B-Y-D-N-O-W-S-K-I.
Were you looking at Facebook?
I'm not looking at Facebook. Yeah, I mean, after you said it, I was like, okay, I can do this now, because I would have gotten it wrong first.
That's awesome. You did a good job, Cass.
So that's Lindsay with an E, L-I-N-D-S-E-Y.
Yes.
And there's several spelled up. Lindsay, I'm not going to say it again, Zibanowski, is that how you say it?
Correct, yes. Good job.
So feel free to find her on Facebook group. But if you have trouble with Facebook, you can always find any of our hosts or email us at lhonlive@gmail.com if you'd like to recommend a speaker for a future month or have us get you in touch with Lindsay. We're happy to do any of that facilitation as well. So thank you for offering to help anyone, Lindsay. So thank you so much. With that, I want to go ahead and open it up and allow some questions. I know I haven't muted it, but if you've muted yourself by pressing *6 or your mute button, you can either press *7 if you did *6 or just push your mute button again on your phone and it will unmute you and then we can take some questions. Feel free to ask questions of Lindsay, myself, or anyone.
I have a comment. This is Cindy from Little Rock, Arkansas.
Hi, Cindy.
I have had the privilege of getting to know Lindsay, and we've talked on the phone a couple of times, and I'm just so impressed with her positivity and her outlook, and she cheers me up and keeps me going, and just wanted to put that out there that she's a great new friend of mine, and I also wanted to remind Lindsay of something she mentioned to me on the phone about a silver lining of becoming closer to certain family members and that kind of thing. And it was something that I could relate to as well. But anyway, thank you for being the speaker this evening, Lindsay. You did a great job.
Yes. Thank you for your kind words.
Hey, Lindsay, this is Wayne. And
hi,
I remember when you were talking about Zoom night.
Sorry, Wayne.
When
go
you
ahead.
When you diagnosed and how you took a deep breath and now you can move on and how you were ready. I can remember feeling the exact same way, you know, and that's 39 years ago. But after going through months of not knowing, you know.
Right.
It was just a relief to know what
happened. Right. Yes, it is a relief. I was just happy to figure out what I finally had.
If you know you aren't going to ask a question and there's some noise on your background, feel free to remain muted either by pressing the mute button or *6. I know there's a little background noise there. I want to keep it as clear as we can for the questions that anyone has. Any other questions for Lindsay about her experiences or things people would like to share?
Lindsay, this is Lisa from Canada.
Hi, Lisa.
Welcome to the group.
Thank you.
You blow me away at your positivity at such a young age, and I know you probably don't want to hear that young age, but you're extremely mature and positive, and that's the best thing for this once you've been diagnosed to, I guess, not dwell on the things you can't do, but the things that you're going to be able to do down the road.
Right.
You know, I think it's very encouraging, everything that you said, and the fact that you researched and that you brought it forward to your doctors says a lot. I was affected, almost 16 years ago now, and I was a little bit older than you, much older than you, when I was diagnosed. I think it's incredible how far you've come along and how positive you sound right now. And I wish you the best of luck with your shoulder surgery, as I am just recovering through my shoulder surgery, which I had in July. And it is a long process. I don't know what you're having done or anything, but I hope everything goes well. But try and stay positive about it. I know it's going to be hard to not be able to do the things you could do, but you have to learn to just accept it going forward. I think it's absolutely amazing that you want to get back to the workforce as quickly as possible, and you sound like a very kind, caring, and giving person, and you're definitely in the right field. So, you know,
Thank you. Welcome
to the call. You did a great job, even though you had, like, the co-host, you know, did okay as normal, but I'm kidding, Andy, of course. You know I love you.
Yes, you did great, Andy. Thank you, Lisa.
So, and, you know, feel free to reach out on Facebook if you ever need somebody to talk to, because there are good days and there are bad days, and it's totally normal.
Right, great. Thank you. You as well. I hope the rest of your recovery goes well with your shoulders.
Well, it's coming along. It's coming along.
Good.
Yeah, this is Tony in Temecula. I've got a quick question.
Yes, of course.
Lindsay, this is totally off topic, but what exactly is going on with your shoulder?
Well, I've dislocated it a total of 4 times.
Ooh.
Okay.
So I dislocated 3 times this year and then 1 other time 3 years ago. So I basically have a really large tear on my labrum. So they're basically going to go in and do the surgery and help fix the tear, so then that way I won't dislocate it anymore. So.
Gotcha. I only asked because then I think Lisa said she had a shoulder problem. I'm also having a shoulder problem. I don't know if that, I mean, not that it could be related, it just sounded awfully weird. So.
Right.
I just had to have an MRI on my shoulder as well. They're still trying to figure out. I just had an MRI, and there's, I have to read the whole thing, but, you know, there's not dislocation, but, a lot of, you know, pain in the, kind of like a rotator injury, but in the upper area of the shoulder.
Right.
So, anyway.
Well, I hope you get yours fixed too.
Yeah, no, you know, I'm kind of going new to the process, or new to, I still haven't been diagnosed, but anyway, so I'm like hypersensitive to somebody saying, oh, I have this or I have that, and it's like trying to connect all the dots. But my brother also
right.
was affected, and he's in Ohio. He's in Mansfield area.
Oh, okay.
So
I know
his eyes, yeah, so he lost vision in one eye a year ago, and then a few months ago lost vision in the other eye. He was a physician.
Oh, wow.
But,
well, if you and him would both like to reach out and talk anytime, I'm always available. I'd love to talk with both you guys.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I'm going to try to get him a little bit more involved in everything, too. Anyway, so thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hi, Lindsay. This is your mom.
Aww. Hi, Mom.
I just want to let you know that I'm so glad I'm able to get closer with you, even though it's for this reason, but just be with you while you're going through your journey of getting back to work and figuring out what to do next.
Yes, definitely. That's one of the many silver linings of all this is I've been able to get much closer with my mom and sister throughout this whole process. So I'm super grateful for all that. And thank you. I love you.
Love you too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now we're all going to cry.
Oh.
Hey, Lindsay, it's Maria. I met you.
Hi, Maria.
California. How you doing?
Yes. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. I'm good. I'm good. It's a great call. Lindsay, I'm so excited to hear you and more of what you've been doing since we met. But I wanted to add to that silver lining. I said the same thing to my mom a couple years ago. Was
I remember your story,
Mom,
you telling me.
Right. Because it's true. And I said, geez, Mom, you know, I mean, I hate that we have to spend so much time together. But I'm really glad we are, you know, because the reason we're spending so much time together is because she was driving me and, you know, coming over and helping me and things. But so it really did bring my mom and I closer as well. So I just wanted to put
that
in.
I'm
sure many people could relate, if they were, if they have parents that they are now relying on, you know, depending upon where you're living and if your parents are closer, or maybe you're relying on, you know, a sister or brother or even a son or an older son or daughter. So, you know, it does bring that out for sure.
Yes, I'm definitely grateful and thankful for my supportive parents and family and sister and friends. I was actually shopping with my mom the other day, and I was thinking about the stories that you had told me about you and your mom, Maria.
Yes. What she's alluding to is my mom would forget to put her hearing aids in, and so you have me visually blind, and my mom can't hear very well shopping together in a grocery store. Yeah, that was quite a sight for sure. Yeah, but you know, I would have to be patient because I thought, again, you know what, I'm lucky that she's even here to help me out. So you know,
right?
We managed to make it through for sure.
Yeah, Lindsay, I don't wear hearing aids yet, but maybe not too far off, huh?
Right.
Just make sure you wear them when you go talking.
Right.
Yeah, when my mom's yelling what size cucumber I want to buy, it's embarrassing. I tell you that. Really embarrassing. Like, Mom, you're talking too loud. Wow.
Right.
It's a little embarrassing.
Well, hand it to me, Mom, and let me feel it so I know how to do it.
Wait, what? Go here. Why don't you feel it? Is this the
right
time? I'm like, oh, my goodness.
And luckily, I can't see all the people staring at me, so I don't care.
I know. Well, after a while, I just start busting up. I just can't even keep myself composed with, you know, because she's kind of serious. I'm like, Mom, put it back. Oh, my gosh, put it back.
Right.
But I just have to laugh, you know, after a while.
Right.
But I wish I could record the conversation because people would be like, what are you guys doing? You know, just from her comments, you know,
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, like I said, very, very fortunate that she is, you know, she is and still does help me, so I'll take it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Lindsay, why don't you share that your trouble recently about not being able to flush the toilet on the airplane?
Oh my God, Mom. Oh my goodness. Well, I guess there's my embarrassing story for the night.
That's okay. We've all been there. It's hard to find that little button.
Right. It's different on every airline. I can find it on Frontier, but American Airlines, I have no idea.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, right. Okay, good.
Any other comments? I will let everyone know. We're about 10 minutes to the top of the hour. After we get a few more questions in, I want to give people an opportunity to ask their questions. But I will stop recording the call just so if there's anyone who wanted to ask questions or introduce themselves after the recording is turned off, you will have the opportunity. So hang tight just a little bit longer. Every time I talk, I ruin the mood, and everyone wants to be quiet again.
I have a general question. This is Cindy again, and it's not directed for Lindsay. It's just for anybody. I have noticed within the past month, I had migraines back in my 20s, and then within the past month, I've had some very severe headaches, and I think the doctor and I have decided that the migraines have returned. And so one of my triggers that I'm trying to address is glare and light, because I've noticed in situations where there's a lot of light, it's almost unbearable with the way my eyesight is now. And so, but if I put on sunglasses, it seems like it shades out stuff that I should be able to see if I didn't have them on. And so has anybody had any luck finding a type of sunglass that shields out the light, but still you can see your surroundings as well as possible?
I can commiserate with you there, Cindy, and tell you that I also suffer from migraines and have a nice pair of sunglasses that I used to always wear. I only wear them now if I'm going to be stationary, meaning like I'll take them if I'm in the car with somebody and I don't actually need to see anything, or if I'm seated at home or for some reason. But if I'm walking around, like you said, they do prevent me from seeing the little bit I can, and for that reason I don't wear them. The only fix I really have is wearing something like a hat that I can actually block out the glare with physically in some way without doing anything to block my eyes. But anyone else out there with a better recommendation?
Cindy, it's Maria. I also suffer from migraines, and actually you will find that folks who are affected and folks who are not affected, migraines is something that is pretty common in this community, oddly enough. But there are different colored lenses, and this was something I was shown way back when I first went to low vision, and they have, you know, kind of a green color, they have a gray, they have like amber, they have different colored lenses that might be a solution for you, that the, you know, maybe the gray or the green still allow you to see good contrast and whatnot, but you know, just enough for the glare, possibly. But I totally get what you mean. That light can be really, really, it could be really, you know, irritating for sure.
It's blinding.
Well, I was going to say that. I have said that so many times, and people look at, you know, they go, oh, and I go, it's a joke, okay? I'm already blind, you know.
No pun intended.
But I know. But when light comes in, I always sit away from windows in a restaurant or anywhere. My back's to the window, or if light's coming in and it's reflecting off a wood floor, it's like, oh, it's bad. I mean, I remember when I was fully sighted, it was blinding, quote unquote. But now, yeah, that light is just, I mean, you almost have to just put your hands over your eyes. It's that bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, but the different colored lenses, that's all I can really think of, you know, for me, might be an idea.
I'll try that. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Cindy, this is Lisa from Canada. I think I'm the only Lisa on the call, but anyways, there are a pair of glasses, and I don't know what they're actually called, but if you went to like a hunting or fishing store, they actually do have glasses that are specially made for if you are a fisherman or a fisherwoman, sorry, that you can actually, it reflects the glare so you can still see the images perfectly clear. My husband actually has a pair of them. I can find out the name for you of what they are. I personally don't wear sunglasses because I'm a little different than most. I do suffer from migraines, yes, but I also, the brighter the better for me. I know that's kind of strange because a lot of people that have LH1 tend to say they like it, you know, darker. Like Maria made the comment about sitting with her back against the window. I need it brighter for some reason. Don't ask me why, but it just the brighter the better. It's easier for me to get maneuver around. So if you are interested, I can find out from my husband the name of the glasses, and I'm pretty sure you could probably buy them on Amazon and or something, but they're a special glass, like they're special glasses that are specifically made for fishermen or hunters that...
I think you might be talking about just polarized.
Yeah, kind of. Like you can see everything clearly, and there's no reflection of the sun or reflection, well, you don't have snow, but reflection off of the snow or whatnot or the water.
That's what I'm looking for, and the UV protection, of course, because somebody has mentioned to me going around without the sunglasses on, and they're like, well, you're going to ruin your eyes and get cataracts and that kind of thing. And so I'm like, oh, dear, I don't want to worry about that also.
Yeah, so I don't know if you have Cabela's. Is there Cabela's anywhere near you?
The mail order catalog.
Pardon me?
Yeah,
through mail order.
Yeah, okay, because they would sell those kind of things.
Okay.
Hey, Cindy, this is your husband. I'm going to say it. I'm saying it on the call just because I'll probably forget later. I have polarized sunglasses. You can try mine. Look at this. We've got every kind of love featured on this call tonight.
Inside source.
That's so this is, this is Patrick from Northern California. I joined late, sorry. But, you know, one pair of glasses that I like is they're called Gunnar, G-U-N-N-A-R, Optics. They're out of San Diego. And I like the kind that are made for they're guys who, like, are in front of the computer or they're gamers all day, but they filter out blue light. And I think they're pretty effective. They're pretty good. I wouldn't wear them around outside all day because they're not like sunglasses. They do have sunglasses, but I don't like their sunglasses. But their computer glasses are pretty good. They're pretty affordable, actually. So you may want to give those a shot.
Is that Gunnar with an A, you said?
That's G. It's G-U-N-N-A-R.
Yeah.
Great.
It's mail order, and they're pretty economical, so you may want to give it a shot.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good call. Thanks for chiming in, Patrick.
Sure.
We're listening to someone's TV here, but does anyone else have any other comments or questions? We can drown out that TV.
This is Maria. I just came across this article today, and I just read the headline. I was wondering if Wayne knew anything about it. It says, man sues Playboy's website for not being blind friendly.
Oh, my gosh.
We're still being recorded?
Yes. This is still being recorded, yes.
It's not being recorded. I thought you turned it off.
Comment for now.
I have no comment. No comment.
All right. That's very safe, Wayne. Good call.
Sandy,
I know you're not looking for legal advice, but I'm giving it to you.
I do all my stuff online. I don't buy magazines.
Well, they are talking about the website, so I guess this guy has nothing better to do than to Playboy, really? He's got too much time on his hands.
Cindy?
Wayne, you're off the hook. I found it, and the guy's name is Donald Nixon. So unless you're going by an alias, we know it's not you.
Oh, no, I'd use my real name.
Yeah. I had just posted it. I'll put it in a private group so you guys can all. But seriously, who's got time for that?
Exactly. Well, I know we're others may still have questions, but I want to go ahead and take the opportunity to thank everybody, and we'll go ahead and get the recording off. But with that, I want to go ahead and thank everybody, remind you all we do these calls once a month, the first Wednesday of every month. So your next call is January 2nd. So you have a full day to recover from New Year's Eve. And then we will be gearing up for the next LHON Live call Wednesday, January 2nd, 8 p.m. Eastern time here in the U.S., 5 p.m. Pacific. We'll be looking forward to having you join. If you would like to join as a speaker on a future call or even just talk to Lindsay about how wonderful an experience it is, you can find her or you can email us at lhonlive@gmail.com. And we will get you on our long list of people who are waiting to be guest speakers. But thank you all for joining so much, and we'll look forward to the next call. With that, I'm going to go ahead and turn off
Andy,
the recording.
Yeah, before you turn it off, do you want to mention any news about the – seemed like there was something about the conference this summer. There was something about the hotel available for booking or something.
Lisa, do you want to chime in? And is there news there?
Sure. I can speak to that. Yeah, for sure. There's the conference that takes place in Alexandria at the end of June. The UMDF does have registration. The UMDF has not yet opened registration, but the hotel, which is the same one we were at last time we were in D.C., does have registration at the hotel open at the conference rate. So anyone that wants to jump on it, I've been putting links to the glasses and things people have been talking about, so I'll include the link here too. But, it's not too soon to make your hotel reservation. You can always cancel it if you don't go. And if you want to be at the property where we're having the event, it's a great time to get your reservation locked down, you know, before all those spaces are gone. It's just really convenient to be there. And, the actual event does take place June 28th, 29th, Friday, Saturday. It's Friday. It's going to be the same format as this past one, where it'll be like lunch and afternoon on the 28th and morning of the 29th. But if you want to, you know, come in early and stay late, it actually starts on Wednesday with a day on the hill preparation and mixer. And Thursday is an optional day on the hill where we go to with UMDF, and they, you know, take buses from the hotel to Capitol Hill, and we lobby Congress for funding. And then, like I said, Friday and Saturday are the actual meetings. So lots to consider as you're making reservations, and hopefully everyone will be there. And if anyone has questions, feel free to ask me directly. Just message me on Facebook.
I'll go ahead and give a plug to the conference. As I said earlier at the beginning of the call, that's where a lot of us met each other, and a lot of these friendships are forged that weekend once a year. I can't encourage it enough. I know everyone here would give it a fantastic review if I gave them the time. If there's one thing you want to look forward to looking at past calls for, if you listen to the last 15 minutes of any call, you can hear people raving about how fantastic these conferences are each year. So huge shout out to Lisa for all the work she and Molly and everyone else, Maria. And I know I should have stopped listing names because that was a bad idea because I've left people off. But huge thanks to the people who work on that. But I can't encourage it enough as an experience if you can get to Washington, D.C.
or the Alexandria, Virginia area in June.
Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you for calling that out, Cindy. Anything else before I stop the recording real fast?
Maybe just a quick shout out if we're going to talk conferences. Not only is there the event in Alexandria in June, but there's going to be a joint event in April in Vancouver. So for folks who are on the West Coast and maybe can't make the trip all the way back east, but maybe it's easier to stay on the West Coast time zone. And I know there's some Californians on the call where it might be easier to head north versus east. And that's going to be another great event. And it's not Canada specific, and there's going to be some great doctors there too. And so that's another event taking place, in Vancouver, April 26, 27. And that hotel is open for, registration too, at the hotel reservations. Thanks, Randy.
Yeah, no, I mean, thanks to everyone who works on that. I wish I could make it to Vancouver. I'm actually trying to do that because, frankly, that's a lot more exciting place to be in than D.C.
And for anybody who wants to go to, and for anybody
go ahead,
who wants
Wayne?
To go to Brazil, for anybody who wants to go to Brazil, when is that?
Yeah.
Listen. Brazil is having their first conference a week from Saturday, and my daughter and I are going to be there. So I'll say hi to Nicholas for everybody and his mom. I'm sure they'll be there.
Yeah, and if anyone wants to go to Adelaide, Australia, Richie will house you. No, seriously, we have people part of this community everywhere. So honestly, if you are traveling or like Lindsay mentioned, if you live in a part of this country and think there aren't people near you and you haven't had the opportunity to meet other people that are a part of this community in person, there are opportunities to meet people. And if there's not one, I encourage you to create one. Create a dinner. I used to live in Florida and was a welcomed member of the LA Join Florida community. Since leaving there, they have kicked me out and don't talk to me anymore. But there's also a fantastic group up here in New York. So everywhere I've ever lived, there have been fantastic people a part of this community, and I know there are the same people near you. So I can't encourage enough. If you can't make it to a conference, or even if you can, try and meet some people nearby and do a casual dinner sometime. A fantastic experience. With that, I will go ahead and turn the recording off for this evening's call.